everyone. Welcome back to another fantasy team preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by my co-host here, Koopa. Koopa, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Excited to get into the division that means probably the most to both you and me. You being a Browns fan and me being growing up right outside of Baltimore, I was a Ravens fan. So we're going to be doing the AFC North this week and starting off with close to home where I grew up in Baltimore with the Ravens today.
Yes, definitely. So let's kick it off here with Baltimore. Obviously the head coach, one of the longest tenured head coaches now in John Harbaugh. Offensive coordinator from last year returns in Todd Monken. Obviously got Lamar Jackson another MVP award, so things were clicking pretty good here for Baltimore. Some of the key players who left, though. So Odell Beckham Jr. went on to Miami this offseason. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards both went to the Chargers. They also lost Morgan Moses and John Simpson to the Jets, and Kevin Zeitler as well left this offseason. Missing targets and vacated air yards, they're going to be missing 95 targets and 11,001 yards of vacated air yards from last year. Go ahead and tell us about the quarterbacks here for Baltimore, Koopa.
I mean, we all know Lamar Jackson. He's won the MVP twice. He's going to be their quarterback. He runs the football a lot. When you're talking about fantasy guys that can be difference makers, Lamar Jackson is up there. He can be that difference making quarterback because he can run on the ground. He can get you a ton of yards with his legs. They have the backups of Josh Johnson. He was their number three guy last year. And he essentially has gotten promoted to the number two, kind of. It depends on whether they have an incoming Devin Leary. He might be able to take that backup quarterback job over Josh Johnson, or potentially he ends up being that third quarterback. Devin Leary is one of those guys that for me personally is a sneaky, hey, if you're talking about quarterback on a two deep sort of strategy, Devin Leary is one of those guys that might end up there, but Josh Johnson could also end up there. So at least at the moment, I'm kind of advocating for rostering both of them. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, so I mean, kind of looking at it, I love Lamar Jackson, obviously one of the most electric players in the game. Just some recent stuff that I've heard about him is he kind of played the last couple years up in the 220, 225 range, and he's actually lost some weight this offseason. I think he's down to like his 210, 215 range. So if he's even faster than he's been the last couple years, because it kind of seems like the last couple years he hasn't been as fast and like pulled away from people like he used to. So I'm excited about that. If they can add Lamar's explosive runs to the repertoire here, that's going to be nice. Josh Johnson, dude's been around for like since I was in diapers. You know, he's been around for the league of 17, 18 different teams, whatever it's been, but very steady backup quarterback. And then Devin Leary, like you talked about, 2024 sixth round pick out of Kentucky, along with Jordan Travis. This was probably one of my favorite late round quarterbacks in this year's class. So I really like Devin Leary. I thought this was a really good pick for Baltimore. I think the one thing with him, though, is he's a lot different style than these other four quarterbacks that they have not named Devin Leary. So I'm kind of interested to see how Devin Leary works in this offense. Yeah, he can run a little bit, but he's not like Josh Johnson and Malik Cunningham and Emory Jones, who they brought in, and Lamar, obviously. So kind of interested to see how Devin Leary fits in. The other two we didn't mention, Malik Cunningham, who's a really good friend with Lamar Jackson. Lamar wanted him. So we'll see how that dynamic works, if they can keep Malik Cunningham on the roster or maybe on the practice squad. And then Emory Jones, obviously he's the guy who took over at Florida after Kyle Trask. Really good runner of the football, but passing and all that, not so great, obviously why he went undrafted. This team only kept two quarterbacks on the initial 53-man roster last year. So I think this year, I'm thinking it's going to be three. I think Lamar, Josh Johnson, and I don't think they're going to be able to let Devin Leary walk unless he's absolutely atrocious. But some highlights on Devin Leary from Dane Brugler. Overall, Leary has NFL-level arm talent and the tools required to fight for a reserve role. role, but the consistency of his timing and accuracy must improve to convince a pro coaching staff he is worth a spot. I liked what I saw from him on tape. Kind of reminded me a little of like a gunslinger, kind of like Brett Favre-ish. Obviously not Brett Favre, but kind of played like that. So we'll see how Devin Leary looks this offseason. Running backs, let's get into those really quick. So Derrick Henry, obviously he just signed 2 years, $16 million, $9 million guaranteed for this year. So obviously he's going to be the workhorse. PFF grade last year of 90.1. He was third of 59 as for all running backs last year. Justice Hill is on the roster still, 34th of 59, though the PFF grade is 70.3. Rasheen Ali, 2024 fifth round pick. Keaton Mitchell, 2023 UDFA, coming off a major injury. Chris Collier and Owen Wright, both UDFAs from this year as well. They kept four running backs on the initial 53-man roster last year. I think it's probably going to be the same this year. It's going to be Derrick Henry, it's going to be Justice Hill, Rasheen Ali, and Keaton Mitchell. What do you think about these running backs here, Koopa?
Derrick Henry is really intriguing for this year. Because he is an older running back. He's like, we even saw in Tennessee, his efficiency was starting to go down last year. But the Ravens are a run first team. They're going to feed their running backs and they're going to feed multiple of them. The real question is just exactly what is that split going to look like? If you look at current rankings for running back in fantasy, Derrick Henry's the number 9 fantasy running back right now. So people are projecting him to get a lot of work, rightfully so, in my opinion. The question is just going to be, can he live up to it? We know that Derrick Henry has, even going all the way back to high school, like just been carrying the ball a ton of times year after year after year. And at some point you would think that it's going to start to break down, but it just hasn't fully broken down yet. You're starting to see the signs of the wear and tear. And can he do fine for the Ravens for this year? And because they have that 2-year deal, is it fine for a second year? That's the big question concerning Derrick Henry. Keaton Mitchell, during last season, he started looking really, really good, and then he tore his ACL. The unfortunate part about that is that means he's going to miss most of the offseason, if not part of the beginning of the season. So we were talking about four running backs kept on that initial 53-man, the fourth person being Keaton Mitchell. He might not be ready to go and have to start the season on the pup. If he does end up starting the season on the pup, are they going to keep Chris Collier or Owen Wright on the 53-man or not? I'm not sure. It all depends on how those guys end up showing up in camp. I'm not convinced that either of those guys are going to show on the team. But the guy that I'm really watching out for is Rasheen Ali. Justice Hill, he's been all right in a pinch for the Ravens when they needed an extra running back. But he's much more of a special teams weapon for them. He tends to show up a lot, either as a kick returner or even just on coverage teams. And so that's where he has really found a role in this Ravens offense or this Ravens team to be on the 53-man. But I see more of a Rasheen Ali, the running back that in the event Derrick Henry does need to have some of the workload taken off of him, or he gets hurt and has to miss some time, that Rasheen Ali is the person that's going to step up and take a lot of that workload.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Hill played probably some of his best football last year. He's kind of been a disappointment since he came out. But last year, he was finally asked to play a little bit of more of a role. He was healthier, and he actually looked pretty good. So we'll see what about Justice Hill. Like, he's not somebody that I'm going to be wanting in a redraft league or anything like that, like maybe like the last round or something. But I think this is going to be Derrick Henry's going to handle as much as he can, and maybe Hill's going to go in there on passing downs a little bit. Rasheen Ali, we'll see what he does. He's coming off of his own torn bicep from the combine, so we'll see how that works. But Ali was somebody I did like coming into the draft. So Brugler's highlights on Ali, he needs to improve his forward lean as a runner, as well as his ball security and blocking, but he has has burst in his lower half with a breakaway gear once he feels an opening. He projects best in a zone blocking scheme, and he has some Marlon Mack to his game, although his durability is a key to his NFL future. He had a PFF grade of 75.2 in college, 210 carries, 1,127 yards, 15 touchdowns, 27 catches on 38 targets for 207 yards. He had a 72.3 in a zone scheme, 84.8 on gap plays last year. And the Ravens do run a mix. So, you know, if he's good in both, that should be good for them. 536 yards after contact, which was 93rd best in the country, and 29 missed tackles forced, which was tied for 163rd in the country. So we'll see what happens there with Ali. I am excited about him. I've taken him multiple times in my round four of my drafts. But it's kind of just a hope and see, just because there is not many people in front of him. Derrick Henry's older, like you mentioned. Obviously, his durability is usually really good, though, so we're not expecting a Derrick Henry injury or anything like that. But all they really have is Justice Hill in front of them, an inconsistent player. So that's why a lot of people are higher on Rasheed Ali, because he has the opportunity. Wide receivers, go ahead and start us with the wide receivers, Koopa.
Yeah, so we've got a couple guys from last year, and Zay Flowers is the number one wide receiver, and then Rashad Bateman, who just got re-signed to a multi-year deal. They also kept Nelson Aguilar, and they drafted Devontae Walker in the fourth round of the draft this year. They also have Tylan Wallace. They signed Deonta Hardy from the Bills, and then they've added in a bunch of UDFAs of Isaiah Washington, Tavion Robinson, Dayton Wade, and they signed Sean Ryan, who was a UDFA from last year. They kept six on the initial 53-man. I kind of look at it as, okay, you're going to have Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and Nelson Aguilar for sure. I don't think they even think about putting Devontae Walker and risking some other team trying to poach him. So he'll be the fourth. And I personally think Deonta Hardy is somebody that can come in and find a role on special teams for them. So I see him being a fifth. And if they keep a sixth, it's kind of a toss-up out of any of these guys. But I kind of see them more of potentially sticking with a five-man wide receiver room this year, and potentially using that extra spot at some other position somewhere else. But last year we saw an Odell Beckham Jr. in there, playing kind of like a slot role for them. I think without Odell Beckham, they're going to lean a lot more on Aguilar, who really started to show out towards the end of the year, and also rely on Devontae Walker, who they just drafted, and hopefully give him some experience and get him more comfortable in the NFL and things like that.
Yeah, I think for that sixth spot, I'm probably going to guess it's going to be Tylan Wallace. I think this is his last year of his rookie deal, and he's been a pretty good player for them on special teams, so I think he probably sticks around. They did sign Deonta Hardy this offseason, like you were talking about, so I think those are going to be your main six here. Zay Flowers, obviously, he was really good last year. Looks like all of his legal troubles from the offseason are cleared up. Charges were dropped, so he's not going to face suspension or anything like that. So that's great news for Zay Flowers. Rashad Bateman, they gave him a contract extension already. So they have enough faith in him that he's going to turn it around this year. So we'll see what happens there with Rashad Bateman. Aguilar was a great pickup for them last year. Like, he was a complete afterthought, and he actually played really well for them with some big touchdown catches. So not like the greatest wide receiver core in the world, but it worked for them. Some highlights that Dane Brugler had on Devontae Walker. Overall, Walker is a vertical stretch receiver who requires a linear route tree, but he's a big play threat with promising catch radius and the speed to climb on top of coverage. He must develop better consistency in his routes and hands and be more than a complimentary outside option. Last year, obviously, he didn't play the full season. He had eligibility issues with the NCAA. Everybody knows about that. But in his time that he did play last year, I believe it was 8 games, he had 41 catches, 66 targets, 699 yards, 7 touchdowns, and averaged 17 yards per catch. He played 302 snaps out wide and only 23 slot snaps. So this guy is going to be an outside wide receiver. 54.8 PFF man coverage grade. So that's not good. That he only had a 54.8 grade against man in college, so he's going to definitely have to get better at that. He had three drops. His yak was only 2.8 yards per catch, which was tied for 472nd in the nation, so he was obviously a deep ball threat, as we can tell from his average ADOTS, which was 18.2, which was tied for 10th in the nation. So this guy was down the field, vertical target pretty much exclusively. 10 for 375 on deep balls, 2 for 43 in the slot. Really good at contested catches, and like we talked about, needs route retrieve refinement, good acceleration and tracking skills, though, so that should help him. I haven't taken much DeVontez Walker in my drafts. Just not somebody I have really targeted in round 3 or 4. Not the kind of players I'm looking to draft in my rookie drafts in the third and fourth round. Third and fourth round, I'm looking to take these running backs, the Tyrone Tracy's, the Rasheen Ali's, the Audric Estime's, the Will Shipley's, guys like that, is where I'm looking to do it. So I'm not looking to take, you know, these types of wide receivers and with those picks. Quickly, the only
I just wanted to say the only places that I'm looking at it is in best ball leagues. You could end up seeing him be a kind of spike guy. But in your lineup leagues, the only wide receiver that you really care about on the Ravens is Zay Flowers. And even then, he's only a wide receiver 3 type, realistically.
Yeah, you got to have a really deep league for me to want him in a best ball league, honestly. Like, if it's like a 30-man best ball league, 28-man best ball league, he's probably on the very fringe. So we'll see. Tight ends. Mark Andrews, obviously the stud there. PFF grade of 78.8. He was third of 72 among tight ends. Isaiah Likely, who really came on last year once Mark Andrews got hurt. He was a 2022 fourth rounder. PFF grade of 65.5, 26th of 72 last year. Charlie Kohler still there, another 2022 fourth round pick. They also have a 2023 UDFA still in Scotty Washington. And they brought in Riley Sharp, a 2024 UDFA out of Oregon State. They kept 4 tight ends on the initial 53 last year, and I think it's probably going to be only 3 guys this year, I'm thinking. Mark Andrews, Likely, and Kohler. I don't see any of the UDFAs making the tight ends. How about you on the tight ends, anything?
Yeah, I more or less agree. So what's kind of interesting to me is, so Mark Andrews, for the upcoming season, he's ranked as tight end 4. I think that's a little bit of a recency bias of the fact that he's gotten hurt the past 2 years and just hasn't been able to play the whole season. If you take his stats and you extrapolate it out, he ends up being the tight end 1 or tight end 2 both years. So I think he's one of those top tier tight ends. And then Isaiah Likely, he's currently ranked as tight end 23. I think if you have a single tight end spot in your lineup league, and you end up with Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely is not a bad just second tight end. You only spend 2 roster spots on those 2 guys. Because what ends up happening is when Mark Andrews gets hurt, that's when Isaiah Likely starts to play out and he starts to do really well. We've seen that the past 2 years. Both times Mark Andrews got hurt, it all of a sudden became Isaiah Likely was the one essentially getting all those targets over the middle that Mark Andrews was getting. And we see a lot of those, whether it's the scheme fit or Lamar Jackson liking his tight end or both. He ends up throwing to the tight end a lot. So I look at Mark Andrews. He's in that top tier echelon. Like if you're talking redraft, personally, I have him all the way up as my as my tight end number 2 behind Travis Kelce, number 1 for redraft. And then Isaiah Likely is essentially that. Hey, I want to have an insurance policy for my Mark Andrews, because if you're drafting him that early, you're going to be. He's going to be a cornerstone of your team. Same thing goes with Dynasty. If you can have both of them, that works out beautifully, because you'll know when to start each one based on whether they're healthy or not.
Yeah, I agree with you on Andrews as like the second or third tight end in redraft this year. I think Dynasty, I have him up there as well. So really like Mark Andrews. Other than Zay Flowers, they really don't have a reliable option. So Andrews should continue to be fed in this offense. So I agree with you. Quick look at the offensive line here. They finished 5th overall last year. Tyler Lindebaum was our best player last year. He made a leap in his sophomore season, ended up being the NFL's only center to earn grades above 75, both in run blocking and pass blocking this year. So kind of like how we thought a couple years ago when he came out of Iowa, that he was easily going to become one of the best centers in the league, and he is quickly becoming that. So left tackle here, Ronnie Stanley, he's the PFF grade of 68.1 last year, 37th of 81. Ronnie Stanley has been in the league since 2016. I was like almost shocked to see that when I was going through this, because he, there's just so, he's been in the league for so long, I like couldn't believe it. So he needs to stay healthy, though. That's a big part of this offense. Patrick McCare is their backup. He was a PFF grade of 71, which was 31st of 81 last year. So really good backup last year for them. Andrew Voorhees, the 2023 seventh round pick, is going to get his shot this year. He is the USC guard, missed all of 2023 with an injury from the draft last year, was supposed to be like a second round pick, but the Ravens were able to get him in the seventh round last year. So he's getting thrusted right into the left guard spot, hoping he can take it over. This guy, good luck on saying his name, Alisiasa Awamefea Lalulu. You could be better at that at me than I could, being a Ravens fan, but he was a 2023 sixth round pick. He's the backup there at left guard. Center, we talked about Tyler Lindebaum, 2022 first round pick. The backup is going to be Nick Smack, a 2024 seventh round pick. Brugler's quick highlights on him. Overall, Smack is a well-schooled in the run game, hitting his landmarks and fitting with his hands, but his consistency as a pass blocker must catch up for him to stick. So sounds like a decent little backup they have there for Lindebaum. Right guards, Ben Cleveland, the 2021 third-round pick. He's been there for a while. Josh Jones is the backup, free agent signing from Houston. And right tackle is Roger Rosengarten, who they drafted in the second round this year, a guy I really liked. Daniel Falale is their 2022 fourth-round pick, and he is the backup there. And some highlights on Rosengarten real quick. Rosengarten's pass protection won't win any beauty pageants, but his feet stay active and he trusts his handwork and eyes to execute his blocks. He projects as an immediate swing tackle for an offense with the potential to be a dependable starter if he continues to develop, stylistically similar to Garrett Bowles. I liked Rosengarten. He was like one of the more athletic tackles in this class. I mean, he, like it says, feet stay very active. That guy is very active and moving around. So I think this is going to be a good spot for him to stay on that right side, learn from the Ravens offensive line, and really help them out this year. Kick returner and punt returner, what you got for us to wrap it up?
Yeah, so it kick returns, if primarily we're going to be looking for Justice Hill, Deonta Hardy, and potentially Keaton Mitchell. It all depends. It realistically looks at Deonta Hardy's probably going to be one of the two guys back there. We're talking two kick returners for every team with the new rule set. And the second guy, my guess would be, is probably Justice Hill until Keaton Mitchell gets back from injury, and potentially even just the whole season, depending on how well Justice Hill and Deonta Hardy's duo is doing. They might decide not to sit Keaton Mitchell back there as he's trying to slowly ramp up from that ACL. Punt returner, my guess would probably be Deonta Hardy. The Ravens, they had Devin Duvernay the last year, and he got signed to Jacksonville. And my guess is they signed Deonta Hardy essentially to be that replacement. So just look to see him being the guy to own if you've got kick return, punt return yards. That he's going to be the guy back there for them.
Yeah, he's been really good at that in his career, so I like the Hardy signing since they lost Duvernay. Final thoughts on the Ravens, though. I think definitely Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he's going to have another MVP type season. That's going to be really hard to repeat. But he looked really good last year, especially if he's lost some weight and is going to run some more. I like that. Derrick Henry is the one that's really interesting to me, though, on this team. I think he could have one of those monster type seasons again, like some 1500, 1600 yards, as this team can really run block for him, and he could really be that hammer for them at the goal line, something they haven't had really in a couple years, since like J.K. Dobbins' rookie year, basically. So I am really
only,
interested. Oh, go ahead.
The only worry for me is just like if he ends up being a guy that he gets 300 carries, but he only has like 4 yards per carry. And so then he's only a 1,200 yard guy instead of a 1,500 or 1,600.
Yeah.
Just as some sort of, hey, is he slowing down? Like, hey, how's the wear and tear on his body, essentially? That's the only concern, is he's been doing it for so many years at this point.
This just seems like one of those Ravens pickups where everything goes right just because it's the fucking Ravens. Like, everything goes right for them for some reason. So I think, like, Derrick Henry could be a league winner this year. Like, it's in the realm of possibility. So we'll see what happens there. I think Mark Andrews, as long as he stays healthy, he could be a league winner this year too. So like him. And Zay Flowers, man, he was great in his rookie year. So they have some pieces for sure. So I think this is going to be a team definitely is going to contend for the division title.
For sure.
Yeah, so, all right, that is it for the Ravens here, guys. We will be back here next with the Cincinnati Bengals.